Have you had the pleasure of seeing my kid naked? Have you seen Christian naked yet? Do you know why you do
I really try to avert my eyes when they're in their towels. So I can honestly answer no, I haven't, and I hope to keep it that way.
Your Mom is a podcast. In case you didn't know, seriously, Lisa, that's the whole thing that we're doing. This is a podcast called Your Mom. You know that, right?
Yes.
Okay, we're still doing it.
Your Mom does a podcast.
Yes. Yes. And that's what this is. Ashley Adamson and Lisa McCaffrey, wherever
and however you found it. My kids can, when they are asked, they're like, yeah, your mom does a podcast.
That's the only reason. Your mom does a podcast.
Just for the comebacks. It's the only reason I said yes to
the whole reason that we are still doing this and showing up. However you found us, we are glad that you did. We are glad that you are here and that you are alive. Yeah, I'm glad that you're alive.
Sure.
Like, truly, even if I don't know you personally, like, I'm glad you're alive because you must be a good person if you're listening to a podcast about moms. So great job. Congrats on your life. We have an amazing guest today, Lisa. First official guest of season two, which is a big deal. And I don't want to like belabor the point and do some big long intro because I want to cut to the chase and get her on. But really quickly, you are fresh off a trip to Nashville and you are looking super fresh. Can you just give us like the highlight?
I went to the Grand Ole Opry, huge bucket list item, backstage Grand Ole Opry. Okay. And then I know nobody's listening. Well, maybe if there's some older people listening to this, we were riding the coattails of Sean Cassidy, who like literally my first crush. And ironically, he just put out a wine called My First Crush. That's his wine. How cool is that? And he was literally like everybody in the 70s. I was a little young to be obsessed with him. So it was more an older friend of mine that I thought was the coolest thing ever, was like obsessed with him. So I had his poster up in my room and I remember all my family made fun of me, but I got to meet his, oh my gosh, his wife. I think I'm more in love with his wife now than him. She was so
good. That's usually how it goes.
Yeah. It was so fun. We were literally backstage. I have like, you know, video of us being backstage in the Grand Ole Opry. Like who would have thought that I would ever get to do anything like that or something. It was.
That is so awesome. Did he tell you that you were his first crush and that the wine?
Well, I think now at this rate, I'm going to be his last crush.
That's the next vintage. I love that.
He was so good. You guys have to go. Anyone's out there, go to his concert. So
that's awesome. That's a great bucket list item. That's always good to check out bucket list items.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the deal. I got asked this the other day. What is the most rewarding part of your job as a sports broadcaster? And there's probably a million answers for that. But the biggest and most simple answer is the dear friends that this crazy career has led me to. Lisa, you are obviously very, very high on that list. And our guest today, the one and only Kate Rooney, is also right up there at the very top. I'm somebody who I met through work, and then she became one of my closest friends. Kate and I started working at the Pac-12 Network when it launched 11 and a half years ago. Wow. And she is now a sports anchor at Cron based in San Francisco. She covers the Niners. Go Niners. Playoffs, baby.
And you do an amazing job, Kate. It's so
She gets to interview your son, Christian.
I know. And when I'm there, I look for you on TV to try to find, because you have such great stories. It's awesome. Yeah, you do such a great job. Such a great job. Thank you.
Such a great job. Kate Rooney, welcome to Your Mom. And I should also mention, you have two absolutely adorable children, Harlow and Brady, who are at school right now. But you've found a few minutes in your chaos of your day to join us. So thank you. It is good to finally have you on this thing.
It's amazing to be on. I've listened to every episode. I'm such a huge fan of what you guys do. And so it's kind of crazy to think, I never thought that I would actually be on it. So I'm really stoked, really excited to get to talk.
It's awesome to have you on. And I feel like we were going over stuff of like, okay, what are the topics that we want to hit? Because there's 800 different things that and stories and all sorts of
ways. Which was your first favorite episode that you listened to, since you said you listened to all?
Great question.
Thanks, Ashley.
That's a really good question. I think it was the first one, because pretty much right after you guys launched the podcast, I asked Ashley if she could connect me with you to get you on my show. Yeah, you were one of my best guests last season. The one that I always think about is Steph Curry's mom, Sonia Curry, because, you know, he's someone that I cover too, and I've always admired him. So it was so interesting to kind of get a different like perspective into how he was raised and what his mom thinks about him. And she said a lot of kind of profound things that I think about sometimes. Still,
same.
So.
She was unbelievable. Yeah.
I've referred to that podcast a lot. I really do. Yeah. And her book, because I ended up like listening to her book when I was driving right before that podcast, and it's really good. You should read her book.
Do you remember, Lisa, how nervous we were before we interviewed her? Because she was the first guest that we had that neither of us had any connection to her. We kind of cold called and couldn't believe that she actually was going to show up and do it. And we had both read her book, in which, you know, she was like very strict. She talks about what a strict mom she was. And so we didn't know how it was going to be. And then it was like, she was a dear old friend who was hilarious and awesome and so delightful. And I just, that was so one of my favorite ones. Good answer, Kate. Good job. I'm glad
you passed.
Lisa wants your seats to make sure.
I just want to say.
But I want to real quick, I want to give some more background, Kate, on your journey and your story. So you grew up in San Francisco. You're one of the few like SF natives who is now back in the Bay Area. You were in Boston the same time I was for undergrad. You have a degree in musical theater from Boston Conservatory of Music.
Wow.
Conservatory of Music. So she's a thespian.
Oh my God, that's impressive.
With an amazing voice.
Yes, very serious thespian. So I'm going to probably drop a lot of Shakespeare quotes on this podcast. I'm not sure if you guys
that. Do this podcast in Old English for it to honor you in your background.
Oh yeah, that's a great idea.
A lot of vowels and these. Out, brief candle. Life's walking shadow.
And we can have Ed read The Raven from, because he knows it from memory.
That's
I think that's a great idea.
Oh, that's great. You really do need to do that and post it somewhere.
Sick. That would be the best piece
of content. That would be a viral. Go viral.
Right next to Nick Bosa's workout regimen. That would be, that's, put your hands together.
Coming up with all sorts.
He could be he could be reading The Raven while Nick Bosa is working out.
Oh my gosh. I think Nick Bosa could be working out to him reciting The Raven. Man, we'd win the Super Bowl for sure.
We should just end this episode because I can't. We're not going to talk about anything better than that. I'm not going to be able to think about anything other than that.
Wow. I know what I'm going to say.
Okay, but you are very educated, Kate. So not only did you go and get your undergrad in Boston, but you got your master's then in broadcast journalism from USC, which Lisa will forgive you for.
Henry.
I don't even know if you knew that, Lisa. We forgive her for that. But one of your, you said, I think one of the first jobs you had, I don't know how many you had before you got your, I think you were a production assistant at Pac-12 when we first launched. And the story of how you got hired is kind of epic. Can you share that briefly? Because this just goes to show all the young aspiring broadcasters out there, there's a million ways to get into this business.
Uh-oh.
I found out about 3 years into my tenure at Pac-12, things were going great. You know, I felt like I was doing a good job. I'd gotten a promotion. I'd gotten, you know, a couple salary bumps. And then someone let it slip that I got hired by accident. I was never supposed to get hired.
Kind of like my birth.
Here I thought, I'm one of like thousands of applicants who applied to work at this new network and my resume shot to the top. Turns out, and I had an interview and everything with Leon Schweier, who ran stuff over there when the network first launched, and just an incredible man, really kind of like a pioneer in this industry in lots of ways. But Leon apparently mixed up his Kates after our interview. I thought that our interview had gone so well, but I guess he didn't think so because he meant to hire a different Kate. And when I showed up on my first day, he behind the scenes was like, who's that? But they kept that under wraps for years. And then finally, I guess when they decided that I had passed the test or whatever, someone dropped that little tidbit of information and it kind of like wildfire.
Where is that Kate now?
That's what I was going to say. You don't know her last name. I know. I feel bad for her.
Oh, I'm finding her. Oh, I'm going to do some reconnaissance on the internet. Oh, I'm going
Your name is Kate and you interviewed for a PA position when the Pac-12 network launched. Just know that you wrongfully did not get the job.
Wow.
You should have got, if you've been feeling bad about yourself since then, well, that job should have been yours. I hope you're a CEO somewhere.
She probably is. But that was how, I mean, that story is a true like microcosm of how the network was when we first launched. It was freaking chaos. And it was like, okay, there's a warm body and somebody who's going to, let's go. Like our good friend Molly, she came in, I think she just came in for like an interview. What was her story?
She was visiting San Francisco. She walked in off the street and handed her resume to someone at the front desk. And they were like, I think you can interview right now if you want. So she did.
Yeah.
Hired her
she
the
just
spot.
Stayed in San Francisco. She just like had some stuff shipped up and just stayed. So yeah, it was wild. Those early days, we could do it again, like an oral history of the first couple years at the Pac-12. It was awesome. But I'm curious, kid. I don't know the answer to this question. Like people always ask me like, oh, you must have loved sports growing up. How did you get into this industry? Why? I don't know that I know that answer for you. I know obviously you're a sports fan, and I know that you were also most improved in your middle school basketball team. That was one of your career accolades.
Oh yeah, congrats. Yeah, and that's about as far as my athletic career went. I mean, everyone always assumes that I was an athlete, like you, Lisa, or like you, Ashley. I mean, you were an athlete too. I was decidedly
unathletic. You improved. You just didn't stick with it. It sounds like you were really
improved, a lot. But I didn't. Once I won that trophy, I was like,
that's the pinnacle. Like, what else is there to win for real? Like, seriously.
Come on. Yeah. So I decided that I needed to then start winning at theater. No, but I was always interested in journalism. I started doing my school paper when I was a kid. Even before that, when I was in elementary school, my mom saved some school projects of mine where I was like writing in the voice of a broadcaster. Like, this is Kate Rooney live from San Francisco where we just had an earthquake, things like that. So it was always like a role-playing thing that I did kind of. And then I'm an only child, my dad's only kid. So one of the ways we bonded was watching games together. Mm-hmm. I grew up in San Francisco at a time when the 49ers were incredible. My dad loved the Giants too. They had a lot of success in the 80s. And we would do that together. And so it was just something I loved. And when I went to musical theater school, in a way, it actually, you would think it would be the opposite because sports and musical theater aren't necessarily things that people think of going hand in hand, but it kind of became this thing that was like mine alone. No one else really cared about sports. So I just became almost more obsessed and I read all the content I could. I subscribed to Sports Illustrated. I watched SportsCenter all the time. And a couple of years after I graduated, I just thought, man, this is really the career path that I should have taken. So I decided to go back to school and actually pursue it. I'm so glad.
I am so glad that you did too. And what's crazy, Lisa, I tell, you know, young people all the time that come in and have worked at, you know, various places that I've worked that come in a production role or behind the scenes or in a producer role, a lot of them want to be on the air. And it's like, okay, let me try and get my foot in the door. And I always say, there's only one person I know who actually was hired to not be on camera, who then parlayed that into an on-camera position. And that was Kate Rooney at the Pac-12 Network. So you worked in the bullpen, like you were a production assistant and a producer for, what was that, like 3 years?
Yeah, I mean, but two things. I think that was like kind of a function of what you talked about, the chaos of Pac-12 Network.
They thought they were hiring a different Kate to come on the air.
You were on the air and then you'd clean up after at night, right?
Clean up.
Yeah, exactly. That, and also, I just wasn't the best producer. I wasn't a very good production assistant. They moved me from like cutting highlights and things like that pretty quickly to doing graphics, which was a good position for me because I really enjoyed, as a journalist, attention to detail and, you know, getting words right. So that was a good position for me. So I did much better there. But if I had been a really great producer, I don't think they would have necessarily wanted to let me audition for the
producer. They wanted you to go on the air, basically.
Exactly. They're like, God, we got to figure out a way to get her out of here. Let's just let her do this on air thing. So yeah, I mean, it was a crazy story, and you're right. There aren't that many people who've gotten to do it. I'm incredibly lucky in that way. All the chips fell into place, and I was lucky to have you and other people there who really, really encouraged me. I probably owe you some back wages because you've given me so much.
That's
like
why I brought you on today. I wanted to talk about the back wages.
But Kate, you're like a natural on air because you. I think it must stem from your theater background because you're so poised. That's the perfect word I'd say. Every time I watch you, you are. And even now, you're like poised. Like I can't stop moving. Like I have whatever. But you're just like so graceful and poised, and it kind of makes me mad. Like
annoying.
What's up, please? Can you speak?
Well, I'm going to have to stop. God, I need to, if it makes me feel better, one time I like tripped at a press conference and fell and knocked over my camera. And
yes, good. That makes me feel way better. Yes, good. And ruined the shot, right? I hope. Yeah.
Ruined the shot. The athletes and the coaches all laughed at me.
Good. Now I feel better. Now I feel like I can talk to you. Be honest, Kate. Like I know Christian kind of joined the team mid-season last year and like, he deep down inside, you know, oh, he's cool. He dates this, you know, he's engaged to like Olivia, who she's legit cool. But he is literally a nerd, a dork at heart. Does he get bullied behind the scenes? Be honest. Come on.
That's actually really funny that you phrased it that way. So far, I've not seen any bullying incidents. But a few weeks ago, I was interviewing Kyle Juszczyk, the fullback. And I asked him who's the biggest nerd on the team, and he right away, without even skipping,
100%,
he said Christian's the one who's like hitting the books night,
just studying like dumb stuff.
But I was really surprised by Christian because I met you first through Ashley before I met him briefly, but you know I thought Christian, okay, he's Lisa McCaffrey's spawn. He's going to be like a huge goofball, like another George Kittle, class clown type guy. And he could not, I mean, he's so serious,
he's
so stoic.
But if you get him away from the cameras, so, though, he will loosen up. He will, if you get him away, he's, yeah, he's kind of like in a bizarrely funny, like you have to like sit there and you're like, oh, that was, you know, that was an off comment.
You gotta really listen, but every now and then he'll make a joke and you're like, problem.
It's your problem because you don't listen. No, no, I'm kidding. But no, he is. He's, I'm kidding. he's definitely a nerd. You'd think being a nerd like that, he would have graduated from Stanford, but no, he dropped out.
I love that you get that in every time.
That's the only thing that we can say, right? Like he was too good for Stanford.
Exactly. He was looking.
Yeah, he had to go do something else.
So he had to go learn the whole. He had to learn Kyle Shanahan's offensive scheme. That right there shows you he can.
Exactly.
Way harder than anything at Stanford.
I'm curious for you. Like you grew up a Niners fan, right? And now you get to cover that team. And be, I know you're going down to Santa Clara later today, and you're in an amazing time to be covering this squad because they have what I think is the best player in the NFL and Christian McCaffrey. And I think about the fact that, like, I mean, I grew up cheering for the Broncos and what it would be like to cover them. I know it changes once it's your job, but like, what is it like covering a team that you have a huge affection for?
Does it, you probably are now a fan of a different team after meeting them, though. You're like, wait, they're not that great.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, honestly, if anything, Lisa, like, I am a bigger fan of them. I don't know if that's a weird word to use, but you get to know these guys in a different way. I definitely, to your point, Ash, it has changed. I don't, you know, live and die by their wins and losses anymore. I think it's more fun to cover a team that's winning, a good team. So I'd say the same thing about the Warriors, the Sharks, the Giants, the local college teams that we cover. It is really fun to cover a team that's doing well. It's much harder to cover a team that is playing poorly. So that is fun. So in that way, you know, I'm rooting for a good team. But no, I mean, you're not even allowed to cheer in the press box. So first of all, if you were a fan, that forces you to approach the game in a different way, to start consuming the games in a different way. I was afraid to cover a team that I had loved because I thought that it would, you know, there's that saying, you don't want to see how the sausage gets made. I thought that that's like what it would be like. I thought that it would like turn something that had brought me so much joy over the years into something that felt like a chore that I didn't like anymore. But I just appreciate it in a different way now. And one day, if I don't cover this team anymore, will I still go back to being a fan? Probably not in the same way. But I've gotten to see how wonderful the organization is. I don't really have anything to compare it to. I've never covered any other NFL teams, but, you know, they're clearly an organization that people want to play for, and character is obviously important when they're adding people to their roster. And so it's been overall a really great experience. I mean, people always ask me, they want to know the worst thing. Who's the worst player on the team? Who do you hate covering the most? And I honestly do not have an answer to that question. There's no one who's been anything other than gracious and thoughtful when it comes to their time with the media. I mean, some people might have their moments, but for the most part, everyone
that's
there is
good. Have you ever slipped in the press box and like cheered on accident? Cheered. I've heard stories of reporters like accidentally cheering and everyone looks at them like they're the worst person ever. Let them slip.
Yes, people do look at you like you're the worst person
Explain
ever.
Explain what it's like to be in a press box. And it's quiet. You're not allowed to
do
reporters for both sides, reporters for both teams. So
yeah, there are. And so, I mean, it's not, I wouldn't say it's fun. Like you definitely, I don't know what this says about me, but I'm like at a part of the Niners press box where on your average week, I really don't have anyone sitting around me. I'm like right in front of the 49ers PR people in the row below them. And then there's usually no one really to the left or right of me. So I don't know if the other reporter said, we really don't want to sit by her. Please put her in her own section down at the other end. But I don't have anyone to talk to during the game. So even like if there's a weird play or like a streaker runs on the field, which has happened before, I'm just kind of like, self, that was funny, wasn't it? So you get used to watching the games in these total solitude. And it's just such a different experience.
Yeah,
It's actually kind of nice to sit by yourself in a press box because there's the other experience, which is you've just got people sitting next to you who will not stop talking.
Well,
and that is hard because you're like, I actually do. And I feel like I'm being rude, but I'm like,
aren't you not supposed to talk to each other because you're supposed to, everybody's supposed to take in their own experience?
Besides here and there, you know, but
I've never been invited to a press box. That's so weird.
You're okay. That's okay.
I think I'd last a minute. Yeah.
You would not last it. You would be out of there. I don't think.
Kicked out. Yeah. I know my limitations.
Okay, you made a point that I think, Lisa, you actually do have some context to, which you don't, you said you don't have anything to compare it to in terms of how good the organization is. But when we had Cheryl Bosa on last year, she talked about, she had a different touch point of a different organization, the other team that her son, another team that her son played for. And she said, it's not even like, I don't want to compare this, but just the Niners, they do it differently. They operate differently. And I, Lisa, you obviously through Ed's career and you've been around a lot of different teams and Christian started with the Panthers. Like, would you say that you feel that too and see it? Like not all NFL teams are created equal in terms of.
Right. Which is unusual. Run. You think they're all even and, you know, they all have the same salary cap and whatnot, but no, it is it's a completely different experience at I think every single team. And I've benefited from going to a Dolphin game too, also, but the 49ers from and I believe after experiencing all, you know, the few teams I've been able to be a part of, or, you know, have my kids be a part of, it starts on the top. It's the owners, then the behind the scenes people, and they have just such a classy organization. They care about the players. They care about the players' families. They make you feel a part of it. And that trickles over to the players and makes them be able to play at their best. You know, they couldn't be nicer and open arms and warm to the players. And that is something, I mean, I personally really appreciate. You know, anytime my boys come in town, they're like, oh, get them on the field. We'll get them, you know, make sure they get them good seats. They are so wonderful. They are amazing. And that, I think, really does make a difference. And it does, like you said, it makes people want to play there besides the great schemes and the great coaching. It does. It makes people want to be there because, I mean, if you look at it from a money point of view, the taxes there compared to like a Florida team are pretty high. I mean, I don't want to get involved in that, but you know, you could make significant more money playing for like a Florida team if that was an option to go between the two, but people still choose to go there because of the coaches, because of the system, because of the owners and the organization. And that really does make a difference. And it is, I can attest, it's one of the best teams to play for. So it's wonderful. So very appreciative we're there. That's for sure. Appreciative that Christian's there. So it's fun.
Yeah. I love hearing that. Because I think that's what matters.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. Covering the team.
And I'm glad he's not getting bullied. I'm really glad.
Although I think it's when the reporters.
Not while we're in there. I don't know. I can't speak to what happens when 80 hours over.
Well, that's good.
I think one of the other things, Kate, I would love to talk to you about, because I'm sure there's plenty of, you know, aspiring broadcasters who have found this episode and are listening to it. And I think there's a few different ways we can look at it. One is I would love to know, like, your advice to people who are getting into this industry. And then specifically, I think women and such a key part of, I mentioned it off the top, like one of the best parts about this job is meeting like people who are going to be my lifelong friends, to include yourself, and the importance of women supporting women, especially in a sports, you know, focused journalism and broadcast career, why that is so important, how you have felt it, and how you now continue to like think about helping pull up the women who are coming behind us. Because I think to me, that's a huge part of what we now get to do.
Well, it's so funny. I'm sure every woman who's starting out in this industry or who's interested in the industry hears like cautionary tales from about how women in this industry don't support each other, about how everyone's so catty. You have to look out for yourself first. I have had the complete opposite experience. I mean, I can honestly say that I have not met one woman in this industry who wasn't supportive, trying to elevate other women. I got my current job because another woman in the industry put in a good word for me, essentially. And like you said, I've made some of the best friends of my life. My wedding was half filled with women that I've met in this industry. Some men too, but more women than men. I think if anything, the reputation that women have for being catty in this industry, it's the complete opposite.
That's really refreshing. That's so nice to hear as an outsider.
Group of women.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I will say, having experienced the musical theater world, that is really not true there. There's a ton of
wow. All those like Glee people are like, wow, give me more.
Well, we'll talk some stories about that off camera, but no, I mean, so another industry that has that reputation, and it is true, and this industry has that reputation, and it could not be further from the truth. Maybe it's the generation that we are lucky enough to be in, where we've kind of seen women have to struggle to prove their worth, and it just is tough to see that. We're always still outnumbered in every room. So I'm always thrilled whenever I see a new female reporter that I haven't met before. And we always have like an immediate way to bond. There's no awkwardness. how do I figure out how to introduce myself to that person? You can immediately just say, hey, I'm so-and-so, like, let's connect and let's try to help each other out.
That's great. Wow. That's really refreshing as an outsider to hear that. That's pretty amazing. Congrats.
No. And I echo that. I think, you know, it's certainly, I'm sure there are other people who've had different experiences, but I have been super lucky in the women that I have been able to work with and around who have just been fantastic in every single way. And it's not what you probably hear and believe and think is true about this business, because of some of the stories that are out there. But the other story that I'd love for you to tell, Kate, and I just remember being so in awe of you. So you get married and you get pregnant, and you did not have a full-time on-air job at that point, but you had been interviewing for one. So like, this is again, another thing of just, this isn't usually how it goes, but you made it happen. So tell us how you got the job at Cron and like what that moment in your life was like.
The third time interviewing for Cron was the charm for me. I really wanted to work in local television in my hometown. And at the time that I first applied, those jobs were like unicorns, because people would get, in the heyday of sports broadcasting, if you were lucky enough to get a sports anchoring or sports reporting job in a big market like San Francisco, you never left. People did it for 40 years. There were never openings, and they would certainly never go to, you know, someone who had never really worked in local news before. And I hadn't. I was lucky enough to weirdly start my career at the network level, so I didn't really know what local news was or how to do it. But I applied for the job at Cron because I'd been freelancing for 3 years, like Ash mentioned, and I had some great opportunities. I was lucky to work pretty regularly, but I was pregnant. And so I just thought, I need to have something more stable. My husband had a job with health insurance and everything, but I didn't love the idea that, like, one thing when you're freelancing is you kind of feel like you have to say yes to every single job. And there might be long stretches where you don't have a day off, or you can't, you know, take a vacation or something like that. So I thought that if I had a full-time job, it would be better. So I interviewed at Cron right after I got married. They ended up hiring someone else. A couple months later, that guy got fired for making a racist comment on air. I can say that's something I would have never done. So I applied a second time for that job. Unfortunately, when I applied the second time, the guy, I talked to the boss, the news director, he was like, this is great. Yeah, I remember you from last time. Come on down. Like, let's have an interview. It was feeling really good. I was 7 months pregnant though. So I showed up with this huge pregnant belly and he was like, hi. And mind you, this was for a job hosting the show that I currently host, a weekly 49er show. And I was due September 5th. So I would have missed NFL season in its entirety.
You should have just told him you were just gaining a little weight. You just.
Yeah, just like, I've just been watching so much football that I, you know, to prepare for this, that I snacked a little bit.
I remember talking to you right before you went in for that interview. And you were like, I'm just going to go in. They don't know. I'm just going to go in. And it is what it is. And I remember being like, damn it, you are freaking awesome. Like, I love you.
I didn't know what else to do. I thought it took some, but
that was exactly what you should have done. Okay, so keep going. So you go in and show up, obviously,
extremely awkward. You can't discriminate against someone for being pregnant. And I would never say that about my current employer because they've been incredibly supportive, but they were hiring someone to host a football show and I was going to miss football season in its entirety. So makes sense. We're going to, that time I like to think it wasn't about my qualifications, but then a year later, I was in a tough spot with my freelance career because one of my most consistent jobs was a network called Comcast Hometown Network. It gave a lot of people in the Bay Area their start, including Kate Scott, who is now killing it in Philadelphia, and some other people as well. And I worked there very consistently for several years, but it shut down. Just a victim of, you know, the broadcast industry changing and not making as much money as it used to. And that was when I was about maybe 6 months pregnant. And again, clearly being pregnant like that is not a good time to look for a job. So, and Pac-12 also was shut down for the summer. It was summertime, so I wasn't working at Pac-12. So I had a lot of time to sit around and think about how I wasn't working and I didn't know if I was ever going to get a job again once I had a baby, and how I'd made all these awful career choices.
And you can also, you can't stop having sex. Like, that's
that was her problem.
Yeah, come on, Kate. It's
like, well, there's one way to solve that.
I mean, Lisa, it takes one to know one. Lisa has four kids.
I mean, seriously. So, yeah, that's what.
Yeah, exactly. Look who's talking here.
I mean, calm down a little bit. kidding. Joke.
I mean, have you seen my husband?
Is he hot? Oh, let's see.
Yeah. He's a babe.
Hot. So, but no, I saw, again, 2 months old baby, not a great time to apply for a job, but I just thought, let's go for it again. That the person who had gotten hired when I was 7 months pregnant ended up leaving to go work in tech because lots of people do. You don't make a lot of money in this industry. So she decided to take a different career tactic. And this time I finally benefited from that. When I called the guy, he was like, this is clearly meant to be. I haven't even posted a job yet.
Oh, wow.
You're in, basically. He was like, I'm going to like post the job for 2 weeks because we have to do it from a legal perspective, but the job's yours and I'll send you an official offer as soon as I can. So it was tough starting that job when my daughter was 2 months old. But at the same time, it was good for me because I had been going through a really hard time postpartum. And that was a surprise to me. I had always wanted to have children so badly that I thought that it would be amazing and I would love every single second of it. And I didn't. And so the realization that I didn't love it was even harder in a way. Like, am I a bad mom? Yeah. What does this say about me? Am I ever going to like being a mom? And going back to work is what made me fall in love with being a mom because it brought me back, you know, some sort of autonomy. I was able to have that thing that was just myself. And then it was so exciting to come home every night and see my little baby daughter and spend the time that I had with her. So it really just changed everything for me in that way, both in terms of my career and in terms of parenthood. So, you know, I think a lot of moms struggle with going back to work and how hard that can be and how awful our system is here in terms of supporting parents. But for me, it was really the right decision. And so I guess sometimes I would say to women, it doesn't always have to be the scariest thing in the world. It can be a really, really good thing. Because when you're a mom, you just lose so much of your autonomy. And working is a great way to get it back if that's something that you want to do.
That's awesome. That is
great. That is awesome advice. And I think, again, you're so in it. And I remember, you know, I think a lot of women experience what you talk about. There's a reason postpartum depression is a real thing. Mm-hmm. And to, you know, if you're experiencing it, like it is, it's a real thing. It's normal. Like there's help and you can get help and there's a bunch of different ways to but admitting that you're there, I think is really hard.
So many people, I wish I knew that. I wish I had talked to you after I had babies. Cause same thing, you know, you go through that.
Did you feel that, Lisa?
I remember feeling like I'll never be able to leave the house again. Like I'll never be able to leave without a baby. Like I can never have a self. I can never. And it's always about the kid. And that's why my kids are so screwed up because I couldn't.
That's why Christian gets bullied in the locker room.
There you go. Bam. That's it.
Now it's full circle.
Yeah, I didn't. Now I wish I knew. I wish I knew. But that's really powerful that you that really helped you going back to work. I love that. That's awesome. And you had something for yourself, which was really, really neat.
Where was the weirdest place you ever pumped?
Oh God. Well, I think I've told you this story before, Ashley. The Warriors, I'm going to give them a shout out. They're amazing. And they had a mother's room right there. Okay. Very convenient. You can really pump when I was there covering practices and games. They had one of their practice facilities. So it was just amazing.
Wow.
The Niners really wanted to help me, but they didn't have anything like that. And so we have a media workspace where everyone goes and writes their stories and files their video after we go into the locker room and talk to the athletes and coaches. And there's like a little side interview room off that media workroom where they would sometimes bring players in to do interviews like this, like where they needed a video camera setup. So the VP of communications at the time, Bob Lang, very nice guy. He's with the Eagles now, had little kids himself and his wife had breastfed. So he was excited to help me. And he said, how about you go in that room? So I said, okay.
Is there a lock?
It works. There's a lock. I'm like, sure the camera's off when I'm in there.
Right.
Pumping in my car and it was awful.
Oh, the car pumps. Yeah.
But one day, because there's so much equipment when you pump and it's just kind of like a lot going on and you're at work, so your mind's elsewhere. Yeah. And I forgot to lock the door and another reporter, a young guy, came in.
No.
While I was pumping away, boobs out.
And if you've never seen it, like, I'm assuming he wasn't married, right? And probably didn't have kids?
Not married at the time. I don't know if I should say his name or not.
Yeah, you don't need to say his name. But I do think when you haven't seen, like, what a pumping situation is, it can be
jarring. You're like, whoa, what's going on?
Yeah.
That's a shit. Are you okay?
Yeah.
He was lovely. He knew that he was interrupting something he wasn't supposed to be a part of. And afterwards, he apologized.
So he didn't just stop and stare. So that's good.
He didn't stop and stare. So he gets a lot of points for that. And he never asked me about my boobs afterwards. So more points for that.
Oh, God.
And broken relationship ever since. But that is definitely my like worst and weirdest.
I wonder where he is now.
He still covers the team.
Wow, he stayed with it.
He came off entirely.
Okay, he didn't. Yeah, he wasn't scarred. Love it.
Oh my God. Yeah, that is one of those things you're just like, hey, there's nothing sexual about this because these are just literally they're
one of the least sexual things. I mean, honestly, Lisa, I'm surprised you were able to have four kids after Ed saw you pumping because it's decidedly unsexy.
Yeah, me too. I don't know what.
No, that is amazing. That's because she's got such great hair.
I don't mean to brag, but I was actually very good at pumping out milk. That's all I'm good for. I literally, after that, I could do like 8 ounces per boob. It was pretty.
Oh my God. Are you serious?
I mean, I don't want to brag or anything, but I'm good.
No, you should. I mean, that is
brag worthy.
That is brag worthy.
I had milk pumping out of my boobs for years after. It was insane. Years. Like still, no, don't still do it. Yeah. Well, I'm still breastfeeding. So
you still breastfeed Christian, right? I think we should get on the record. Like you do still breastfeed Christian, like before a big game.
Like I said, just at halftime, breast milk's really good for you. It's like, kidding. It's so gross. Nope, not anymore. No.
That's the story I want to do.
Yeah.
Forget.
Great story.
That would be the coup of the year.
You could really make Kate Rooney's career like launch to the next stratosphere if you gave her that story, Lisa.
I breastfed him till he was 14. That was it. No, I'm kidding. I did not do that either. I promise.
Oh my God. This is so good. Okay.
How old are your kids now, Harlow?
They are 5 and 3.
Oh, wow. Right, okay.
Yeah. They're little still.
Is the 3-year-old in school, like any type of school yet? Or
he's in preschool. He's in a little preschool. Most days he's like, I don't want to go to school. You don't have to go to work. Aww. He thinks if he says it, it'll be true. He manifests it. Kind of like how you guys manifest stuff here.
Totally.
But so far it hasn't come to fruition.
Well, one day.
He might have a day off. Garden, and he loves it.
One day.
They are absolutely adorable. Your kids are so stinking cute. And I know though, that it comes with, you know, going back to work, you talk about how it helped you kind of get your identity back, which I think that was a great story. I'm glad you shared that because I felt the same way. But it also comes with a lot of guilt and stress and am I doing the right thing? And you're away and you work nights. And I know obviously your husband works in college athletics too. So your schedules are like this, you know, Jenga jigsaw puzzle that you're trying to always maneuver. Where do you like what? I don't, maybe the question is like, what's the toughest parenting decision you've had to make because of the job that you have? Or what's the hardest part about trying to, I hate the word balance, but like
juggle. Well. Yeah.
Well, I think the good thing about the kids being little right now is that they don't really know any different. They don't have any expectations of what parenting is supposed to look like. This is how it's been since they've been born. They are used to being cared for by other people, whether that's family members. We had an au pair for a while, and she still babysits for us. So they're really used to us being away. But I have noticed this first year of my daughter being in kindergarten, it's getting harder because I've had to miss things. There's school events that I can't go to. There's parent-teacher conferences that I haven't been able to attend. And I think that's going to get harder. I imagine that's going to get harder as they get older. And, you know, leaving them is always hard. I try to approach it from the same thing I just talked about. Like, okay, here's some time for myself. Here's an experience that, you know, a lot of people just are dying for some time away from their kids, right? And I get to have these built-in time away when I'm on a trip. But, you know, it's hard when you're FaceTiming them and they're just like, I miss you. When are you coming home? I want you back. And that is tough. It makes you feel like maybe you're not making the right decision. But I just have to have faith that I show up for them in other ways and they will know how loved they are and that they are the priority, that we just have weird jobs, my husband and I do.
Yeah,
they will.
I think that's a great point that I hadn't thought about, is like, they don't know any different. This is what their experience is. And I, you know, I always remind myself, I lived in Michigan, you know, I was born in Denver, but lived in Michigan after my mom and dad split up. I lived in a different state than my dad from age 2 to 13, like during the most sort of formative years. And we have an amazing relationship, you know, and I am very close to him. And so there's a lot of different ways that it can look different,
Yeah. You
know, and you don't want to miss any time. And it does get harder. I missed a mother-son dance last year. And Lisa actually was the one, you really helped me. You were like, it's okay.
Yeah.
There's going to be other stuff that you will.
Hey, this will make you feel better. One of my best friends who lives out there, she had a baby. And I think it was 3 weeks after she had a baby, we went on a cruise in Europe, with her and our other friend. And she's like, hey, their baby doesn't even know I'm gone. They could care less. They don't know that it'll all be a blur. They don't remember anything until what age? When do you start remembering?
They're like five.
Six, 5, 6.
I think it's even older than that. Isn't it like 6 or 7?
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of depressing? I'm always like, there's been a couple times where I'm like, make this remember a core memory. Like, don't.
It's hard to make this a fun memory. Remember this. Yeah. No, they don't. They're not going to remember anything. You're fine. You're fine for a couple more years. You're good. They won't know the difference.
I'll never forget. Yeah. I lived with my brother when I first moved to San Francisco, and my niece, who's now 13, but she was 1 or 2 at the time. I got to live with her like in the same, and we spent so much great time together. And I remember when she was like 7 or 8, I said, yeah, that was when I lived with you guys. And she looked at me and she's like, you guys, you lived with us? And I felt like, oh,
how do you not
remember all those like Call Me Maybe dance parties and the dynamite and the like the pizza parties and the, yeah. Oh, it hurt. But deep down they know somewhere, like it matters.
There's a core memory deep down in there that they'll remember.
Yeah, I hope so.
The feeling is to remember. So you're good.
Okay, a couple last things, Kate, because we've kept you longer than I promised I was going to, which I knew was going to be the case.
We always do. Sorry.
Who is, I know everybody gets moments in their career where you like, oh my gosh, in sports broadcasting, I should say, where you're like, I can't believe I just interviewed this person or I get to interview this person. I know you've interviewed a ton of people who probably were some of your heroes. I think you did an interview with Steve Young the other day. Did I see that or a couple months ago?
Yeah. And that's my answer. Okay. I mean, that's the biggest one.
You're from the Bay Area, you know.
Yeah. I'm from the Bay Area. He's the quarterback of my youth. I mean, I was, you know.
He's actually John Elway, right?
You're John Elway. Exactly. Exactly.
Totally, Ash is John Elway. And I know, Ash, that you have interviewed John Elway. So I'm sure you had a similar experience. But it was just like, you know, when people say don't meet your heroes, Steve Young proves that wrong.
Oh, I love that.
Over and over. Awesome, right? He was incredible. He took my phone out of my hand upon hearing that my husband was also a huge fan of him, without me asking, made a video for him.
Oh,
he
said his name. That's cool. Video. That's really cool. Long. What a stud.
And he just, and also was just, you know, I talked about how thoughtful a lot of the 49ers players are in when we're interviewing them. And he was just like that. Like, I'm sure he's been asked all the questions that I asked him a million times before. And he made it seem like,
aww,
they were great questions that he, you know, was interested in answering. So I can't say enough good things about him. And
awesome.
I've gotten to also interview Joe Montana, Jerry Rice. I just did Eddie DeBartolo last week. So pretty much like every 49er
legend,
connected
yeah.
person that I grew up watching, it's just been one of the biggest blessings of this job. It's been so incredible and they've all been wonderful.
Wow.
One of my favorite things about Kate Rooney is there is no one that I would rather do karaoke with than you.
Oh my,
truly.
That's a huge compliment coming from you.
And
oh
I
my
do
God.
A lot of karaoke, as you know.
Yeah, I know.
But you, Kate has an amazing voice. And I remember, I think it was you that took me to the Mint karaoke bar in the Castro for the first time. I experienced that glorious place. But I remember hearing you and our friend Jack Ferris sing Cruisin', the Huey Lewis and Gwyneth Paltrow duet.
Gold.
And I remember just like sitting on a chair being like, oh my God, she has the voice of an angel.
What else is new? When is Ashley, what night is Ashley not drunk? That'd be a shorter list.
Come that on. Would be an easier list, yeah. You know Kate Rooney's anthem.
What?
Pony by Ginuwine.
Oh, game.
That thing comes on
okay.
and yeah. just like Kate is transformed.
Love it. Let's go. For
it
you,
is,
I would,
it is.
You came out and walked him out with me. How fun would that be?
Oh my God.
Email.
I wouldn't be able to control myself in the press box if they came out playing.
Yeah, if they ever played that, you would.
You would get you would up in here.
Like, it takes over your body. Like,
forget
it's just
the quorum. Yeah, forget it. Yeah, game on. Game on.
But that's not a karaoke song. I don't.
No, it's not. But it could be. I mean,
in the right
it could
thing.
Be. Okay, so what is your best go to karaoke song? What is it?
You know what? This is going to sound so over the top, but I don't have one because you have to read the room. You got to read the room.
Oh, wow.
And
so if you were to do one right now for us.
Yeah, what would you say for us?
For you guys.
Yeah.
Well, you were just talking about Sean Cassidy, Grand Ole Opry. Ashley, I know you've talked on this podcast about how much you love Bonnie Raitt. So maybe I would try to pull out like a Dolly Parton classic, like 9 to 5.
Yes.
Ooh,
that is good. Oh, Kate, that's spot on. Man.
That is.
All right, good.
Yeah. I got to give the people what they want, not what you want to say, what they want.
For you. You're in the locker room. Everybody's in there. They're doing the interviews after practice. What's your go-to song there? If you were going to break out in song, what would you do there in the locker room?
Probably E-40, Bang Bang, Niner Gang.
Got done. Love it. Okay. Yeah. You win. You are the reporter
that would,
of the year. You won.
Them,
you just won it all. Whatever it is, you won it. Love it.
What about when you're pumping? In the team room.
You're in your
I have a tiger.
Yeah.
Oh, I could play this game for like another hour.
I know, me too. You're in the press box. It's quiet. It's the score 0-0. The game's just starting. What's your go-to song? Go.
Oh, this might be a hard one. The first one that comes to mind is going to be Guns N' Roses, Paradise City. I don't know.
Okay, fair. Love it. Halftime. One team's killing the other.
Super Bowl halftime.
Yeah.
Super Bowl halftime.
There you go. Okay, even better.
When you're with Beyonce. It's
Beyonce. Yeah, she's next.
I'm thinking it's going to have to be something like really melodramatic, like maybe like Billy Joel, like Piano Man or something like that.
Oh, just like, yeah. Something unexpected.
Spitting fire at us. This is
awesome. But one that everybody knows and that everybody's going to like put their arms around each other and like.
Exactly.
Feel like they're drunk.
Start the fire.
Oh, that's a good one.
The world was turning. Yeah. You know, that's like the history of the world in chronological order, that song.
That's what the history class taught. Yeah.
But I did see Billy Joel's last concert at Shea Stadium in New York City. And when that song came on, the stadium was like
rocking.
Like I was afraid because I was obviously in the upper deck. I didn't have floor seats or anything like that. Like it was shaking.
She wasn't backstage like some people on this podcast.
No, yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
Maybe if I had known Lisa back then, I would have had better seats.
Maybe if you worked a little harder, you'd get backstage.
Do you want to sing a little ditty before we go?
Not really.
You don't have to.
Let's see.
No, I think you have to.
This? It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. There you go. It's Christmas.
You could hear even just from that little note that she's freaking got it. That was perfect.
So good.
Kate Rooney, I freaking love you. Really quick, our last thing that we always do on season two, I should say always, this is like our third episode or fourth episode of the season.
Oh, we've done it forever.
We always do. This is like our thing. moment of gratitude, shout out to somebody or something you are grateful for. Who you got today?
It's got to be my mom. Maureen Rooney. My life would not exist in its current iteration without her. She takes care of our kids at a moment's notice. They've helped us out financially when we needed it. My mom is just an angel. That my husband calls her an angel all the time. And my kids are so lucky to have her. And I call her all the time for advice still. I couldn't be more grateful for another human, and she deserves way more than, you know, this shout out. I try to tell her in person all the time. That's one thing I've really learned from you guys, like tell the people you love how you feel about them. So I try to tell her all the time, but you know, it should be known publicly too, how wonderful she is.
That's awesome. Perfect.
What a great answer. Maureen Rooney, we love you. I've gotten to meet your mom and she is just an absolute angel and delight. And she created the perfect specimen that is Kate Rooney. So what is your favorite thing about your mom? Like what's her best quality?
She is so compassionate. Everywhere she goes, she endears people to her. For her profession was an ESL teacher. She taught English as a second language. And when I was growing up in San Francisco, we literally could, it was like, Lisa, I bet how you feel when you're out with Christian or Olivia. I couldn't go anywhere without my mom getting stopped by former students. And she didn't always remember them. Because she had so many students over the years, but everywhere we would go, people would come up to her and be like, "Teacher Maureen, you changed my life. I can't believe I'm seeing you."
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
She's the type of person who just collects friends. I mean, she it's amazing that she has time for me and my family because she's so busy socially. She has so many friends from so many walks of life. So she's just
awesome.
She's popular, man. I just like.
I love it. Oh, now I want to meet her. Bad. I want to meet her. She reminds
you
me.
She bring her to a game. Kate,
yeah,
you should bring her to a game.
For sure. If
you
love
her, out of her
she's busy
there,
watching your kids, probably.
She does always text me, like, go Niners, go Warriors when those teams do well. Which is really cute.
It is adorable. Lisa, do you have a question that Kate should ask Christian?
Mm. Oh, ask him who. Yeah, here you go. Who is the Wordle champ? He or I. Every day we do Wordle instead of talk about nerds. Oh my gosh, I'm embarrassed. But anyway, I guess I'm a nerd.
Who is the Wordle champ?
Wordle champ in the family. In the family, yes. Between he and I, basically. Every morning, each of us do the Wordle, and we send it to each other. So ask him who the champ is right now. I'll be very curious to see if he tells the truth.
Well, we're going to get a chance to talk to Christian today. He always talks to us on Thursdays. So
Thursday. Okay, great.
I'm definitely going to.
I'm sure that conversation is just going to be riveting, yeah.
I'm sure all the other reporters will be really thrilled that I interrupted them to get that question in. But
really quick. Hold on. Christian,
inquiring minds want to know. Okay, wait, a better one? I don't know. Ask him if he's like... Well, I don't know. I always like, you know what I like hearing about players, not even just Christian, like I like to hear about their diet or their regimen or how they get ready each week. I mean, like think about what these guys go through to get ready to play a game, to just get bashed and, you know, and taken down and, you know, brought, battered and bruised. And then what that takes to get them ready for the next week. They have 7 days. Sometimes they only have five. But I just, if you listen to some of the stuff that they do, it's insane. What Christian does, I know it firsthand. It's insane the stuff he does to get ready for the next week. The amount of money he spends on his body and the amount of work and effort it takes to get ready for the next game. He is, I mean, all of them, they're all just so dedicated, and they have to be in today's day and age. Like,
I don't think people really realize it though.
Yeah, because in the olden days they had a reputation. They would like go out and drink and go crazy and stuff. Oh no. Anyway, it's just fascinating. It's incredible. I don't think people realize that. I don't think that gets enough attention. So
you should ask Christian today how many ounces of breast milk is the right amount. For pregame,
I ship them out to him. I put them under over ice and dry ice.
How do you
ship
prepare it before each game?
So yeah, it's the fresh breast milk.
Better, the whole breast milk feature for Christian. I think it's viral.
Ew. You can bring another reporter that you mentioned who saw you pumping. I mean, there's something here. I don't know what it is yet. But I'm feeling
well,
like
we know that breast milk. They've now of like, you know, we're always like the latest greatest. It's now considered a huge nutritionally, and you can actually buy it.
Yeah.
You can buy breast. Well, you can buy cow's breast, like direct milk from, like, I mean, I guess that's milk, but
isn't that?
And you can get human breast milk. You can get it. It's in a dry form, powder form, and it's breast milk, which is insane. I joke about it all the time. It's like people really do like mix it up with some water and drink it. Anyway,
that's some weird stuff.
It really is the secret to some NFL player success. They probably wouldn't be honest with me about that though, if it was.
They probably would. I know. I don't think they want to admit that. So.
No. Reputation.
So. Kate Rooney, you are a gift. We love you. Tell Christian and the Niners we said hi.
And to go.
And I hope, you know what, I'm going to manifest. If anybody wants to manifest anything, go for it. But I'm going to manifest that we are all going to be together in Las Vegas at the Super Bowl, and the Niners are going to be playing in the Super Bowl. That's what I'm going to manifest right now.
I think that's...
And I'm going to manifest a win on Sunday. I'm going to take a game at a time.
Okay. Okay. So you, one game at a time.
One game at a time. Calm down, Ashley. I like the way you're thinking, though.
And I'm going to manifest just a week of great player interviews where they're totally candid with us and tell us all about their secret regimens.
Perfect. I love it. Okay, Kate, thank you. Go Niners, baby.
Thank you so much for having me on, guys. What a delight. I'm honored to be on with you, and you make it so much fun. What you're doing is just so special and so unique, and so thrilled to be a teeny, teeny, teeny part of it for today.
You're a big part of it because you're probably the only one who's listened to every single episode. So thank you for being our number one fan. And seriously, like this is a total gift. It's funny when you know somebody for as many years as we've known each other and all the conversations we've had and all the moments and all the, you know, back and forth support. There's still so many things, as I realize when I'm putting this together and hearing you talk, that like, oh my gosh, I don't know the answer to that question. Like I should know that. And I don't. So it's another reminder, like make a point to.
Yeah. To get to know and ask, like, you can go ahead. I've learned as I've gotten older, it's okay to ask some deep questions.
Yeah.
Do that.
Yeah.
First comes worst.
Keep it on the surface.
That's your business. Shut up. But you know, that's the worst. But no, I think it's fun. And it's so fascinating. You'll learn so much about people by doing that.
Totally. Exactly. Be curious about people. Mm-hmm. All right. We will see you next time. Happy holidays to all. It is beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Can you play us off, Kate?
Sing us out.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. That's my Bing Crosby impression. It's jingle belling and everyone yelling to be a good cheer. I don't really know the words to that one.
I'll see you at a karaoke bar tonight. You want to go karaoke?
Yes.
Okay. I'll see you at Silver Clouds, baby.
Okay. Be there.
Mwah.
Love you.
See you next week, everybody.
Your mom out.